And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Hashtag give the kid a vote.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition. The Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Jay King. We got Mo Dakhil. And we have got a show for you. Oh, my God. Coming up, Doc Rivers getting salty. Joel Embiid getting some MVP love. Maybe some all-star starter talk. Should we be benching Russell Westbrook? And are fans overreacting to Grayson Allen? And that's where we will start. That's right. Leading off the show with Grayson Allen. Who I know, I already know Jay King's going to defend this, but to paint the picture for you, he's trying to block or foul Alex Caruso at the rim, and he goes for the ball at first, and then with his other arm swings wildly and throws him down to the ground, where he then broke his wrist and is out for 6 to 8 weeks with that broken wrist. The Bucks social team yesterday morning, the day after, had a good morning tweet with Grayson Allen eating a donut. And then the news came out.
People being mad at that was so stupid.
Or maybe that was Friday. That was Friday. No, come on. You can't do that. That's such poor form, especially like leaving that up after it comes out that he broke his wrist. Like, what are you doing? This isn't like the dude getting fired for putting like a gun emoji and the horse emoji from Houston, right? Like, that is an overreaction. This is like, yo, you heard it, dude.
What is that something they do every day? Like, good morning with a new player?
You can edit which player that's going to be.
Jay, whoever it is, they could have skipped Grayson Allen. They could have made him the next day. Like, it's not, it doesn't take much to figure out right there.
I mean,
That strategy was badly planned out.
It didn't look great. But everyone going after the, like, it's really a pretty harmless tweet. It's not like,
it's just poor form.
Not like they needed to. The rush to delete tweets is sometimes a little too much.
I mean,
what about just not tweeting it in the first place?
Right, like what's? I mean, Jay, it's not. But it's not
when
like
they tweeted
person,
it, they didn't know he was hurt, right? Like, it was just a fall. The guy got flagrant two, and they didn't know he was badly hurt.
Okay, but even without that, Jay, that's enough to be like, hey, maybe we skip Grayson today. Right, he committed what's most called a dirty play.
Yeah, man, right? you can't defend that foul.
And so maybe without even knowing he's hurt, maybe you just go, you know what, Grayson, we're gonna tweet your picture out on Sunday. Let's let this kind of get away for the day. And just on that alone, you don't need to tweet that out. Like, come on, Jay. Like, we all are in agreement that was a dirty ass play, though, right, Jay?
It was a dirty play.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Of course, he definitely intended to do that.
And he showed no remorse from when the dude hit the ground. Like, we've seen guys go for something like that. Dude hits the ground, and you see the guy kind of respond in a way where it's like, oh, crap, whatever.
He didn't care. Yeah.
He showed no remorse.
He's a dirty player. Like,
of course, going through
his
history.
He's got a reputation.
He's trash.
The thing for me is the first hit was totally fine.
For sure. Like, yeah. If he came just in, that and he falls,
just barely missed the ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just barely missed the ball. Like, he was trying to make a play. And at that point, it would have been just a regular foul. Where he made a mistake and went way over the top is he brought the second arm in.
Yeah.
And that's where it became dirty.
Yeah.
And that's where it obviously crossed the line. I still think some of the backlash was over the top. About Grayson Allen or just the tweet?
About Grayson Allen himself.
Like, dude, I mean,
we've got Billy Donovan saying it could have ended Alex Caruso's career. We've got people just going crazy about it. To me, I thought, yes, it was a dirty play. Yes, like, obviously, it worked out horribly and probably, like, just about worst case scenario for Alex Caruso, which stinks. But, like, I also get if you foul the guy and he's going in for a layup, you want to not let him have that. And it wasn't like he was fouling him from behind where you know he's going to be off balance and you know it's going to be the case where he's going down super hard and super weird. Like, it was a dirty play for sure, but I think it worked out a lot worse than Grayson Allen would have wanted.
Then show remorse, which he didn't, right? And the second, and bringing over the second hand is not enough of a thing to be like, okay, we just want to make sure he doesn't make the layup. You hacked the shit out of him. Even though you went for the ball and missed, you got him pretty damn solid with the first hit. You didn't need to bring the second arm down. Like, so, and just with his history of everything he's done.
Right, that's the thing. It's like,
you don't get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, like Trey, he's got a history of doing this. So like that's always going to compound that even more.
Yeah, I mean, he gets to the point where I think it's just lack of accountability. You know what I mean? Like, he's been able to get away with it since the beginning of his career. And it's been that way. It's, you know, that's why fans have been worked up over the years. You know what I mean? This is not just his professional career. This is collegiate and, you know, before that in prep. So I'm sure he didn't feel like he was going to face any real penalty about it, whether he had any ill will towards Caruso or not. The play could have been handled differently, and he knows the difference from a good play and a dirty play. And in this case, hopefully the NBA could at least suspend him for one game. But I don't think it goes beyond that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it sucks because, you know, the Bulls lose a key player in their rotation, and then also, you know, Caruso loses some time. Yeah. You know, he was building some great momentum in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, he was having a great season. And this definitely and I think on top of, like, this isn't related to that, but you compound that with the Lonzo Ball knee injury, right? And now you're missing two key players for well over a month.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough blow for the Bulls. And then, you know, hopefully they're getting LaVine back, it sounds like, relatively soon. If I saw that correctly from Donovan,
what about the idea? I know Jay's going to hate this. What about the idea if you flagrantly foul someone? And this kind of discussion has happened before, so I'm not like breaking any ground here. But if you flagrantly foul someone and they get injured, you should have to be suspended as long as their injury lasts. An eye for an eye, a wrist for a wrist.
I seen fans asking that. You know,
like, I feel like we get this discussion like every 5 to 10 years. Like, something bad happens, and we're like, all right, it needs to be an eye for an eye. And like, I don't hate the idea, but I also think that's an overreaction. Like, if we want to talk like overreaction, like, I think that might be an overreaction.
If you want to think about it, you would have Dennis Schroeder would be out because Matisse Thybulle hasn't played a game since his dirty ass play when he pushed him when he went up for a dunk.
Yeah.
Jokic would have been out since November because Marty Morris hasn't played. Like, we would,
you would
be
have guys faking not, injuries so that great players on other teams. Right.
I don't think that's guys don't want to give up their time on the court. I don't think that's going to happen. But
it's a wild idea.
Does Denver media still think Markieff Morris is faking it or was faking it, or are we off that now? I just, you know, I know that was out there right after the play, and I'm just curious.
He been out so long.
I forgot he was on the team.
It was November.
He hasn't played since that incident. Like, he's had severe whiplash. And, like, at the time, like, you've got these, like, writers who are like, he's clearly faking it. Like, what are you talking about?
Writers really put that out there?
Yeah, man.
That's a wild thing to put out there in the world.
I synced it. Absolutely.
That is impressive. But, no, you cannot judge a foul on the aftermath of it.
Right.
Like, Grayson Allen, it was absolutely a flagrant foul. It was absolutely a dirty play. It was too much. It was excessive. At the same time, just because Caruso's out 4 to 8 weeks, that doesn't make it worse than like anyone else who did the same thing. The other guy was totally fine. Although Grayson Allen's history of doing such things does make it worse, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to take that away into account.
From dirty plays.
Well, it's not I don't know if you like you can stay away from it. You could just not have the dirty plays. Like
No, but he can't. He could
choose to not do that shit.
I don't know if he can.
Tripping dudes left and right, slamming Crusoe down to the floor. Like, no, he could easily choose not to do that.
Maybe the Bucks should stop the warm up for him of sweeping the leg, or is this like, you know, maybe
this isn't like an addiction. Like, this is just him being a dirty ass player. Are we sure? Well, all right, you know what? There are so many addictions these days. Maybe it is. Maybe he's maybe he's addicted to being a reckless, harmful player.
I'm into that. It's too bad that this is like probably one of the two times he's come up on the podcast this year.
It's never good. It's never whenever he comes up on a podcast. It's never for good reasons.
He's been really good.
He has like, been like
you close know 40% from three.
Yeah, when Middleton,
he's given them a lot of production.
When Middleton and Drew were out. And obviously Lopez was out too. Like, it was Giannis, Grayson Allen, and Pat Connaughton just carrying that team the best they could for like the first 15 games of the season. Like, he played really well. But man, this is the only time we talk about
perfect fit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then nobody notices until he ruins
plays like an asshole. Yeah, and then here we are. Then we get to go to that. All right. Speaking of frustrating decisions, I don't know. I have no transition here. I got to be honest, guys. I'm pretty hungover. I was
gonna say that wasn't a sharp transition.
No, man. I don't feel great.
Niners win a game.
Congratulations on the test,
night, man. I drank and drank.
You heard
and
me. Drank, congratulations on the text.
Most of it was.
It was a very emotional Zach.
I was screaming. I didn't know he could get there. It's the only because I don't really have basketball fandom anymore, right? Like, I have guys I like, but like, I haven't rooted for a Timberwolves win since like 2008. I just don't feel that way anymore about basketball. Cause I know there's some media members who like still like wear their allegiance and everything. Like, it doesn't do it for me.
But the Niners do it for
you. But the Niners, man, like you get this like, and I don't even really Zach care Harper. About, I don't even really care about the, about like regular season games. We get into the playoffs, like now I'm locked in. Atlanta Braves, like I locked in. Like that win in the World Series, like I was like, well, Mo saw that too. I was yelling about the Dodgers one night.
I'm your good luck charm, apparently.
Let's go to the Russell Westbrook discussion,
MVG,
guys.
So, baby. Is Aaron Rodgers the biggest fraud in NFL history?
I saw a tweet saying, wow, he was serious. That report was serious about him boycotting the Super Bowl. I thought that was funny. So Russell Westbrook gets benched at the end of a loss to the Indiana Pacers the other night, right? Earlier this week. So the final 3:52 of the fourth quarter, Frank Vogel takes him out. He apparently has the blessing. It's been sanctioned by the Lakers front office, according to an ESPN report, in which I swear to God, like the weakest language in that report was the reported message from the front office to Frank Vogel, which was, quote, you got to do what you got to do.
Wow.
I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, that doesn't mean anything.
I'm calling BS on that, too.
Really?
There's no way the front office gave him permission to do that. And then he just waited all season to do it until all the reports came out that he was about to get fired.
Right. Yeah, that's probably fair.
The timing just doesn't make sense. It probably came up in the Rambis meeting. When Rambis showed up in the coaches meeting, that's probably what it was. Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, play DeAndre Jordan over Russ was probably what Rambis was thinking.
And then it wasn't just that he benched him down the stretch. It was that he then came out and said, I was playing the guys I thought would win the game.
I mean, he was, right?
Make up an excuse for it.
No.
You know, like he didn't say, oh, we didn't think Russ had it tonight.
Well, he might think he's out anyway, right? If it's a game by game situation that the Athletic reported, like, if you know, maybe that's just what it is. He's just like, oh, fuck it, I don't care. Maybe he's just like in office space now. Right. Like just doing what he can and doesn't care if he gets fired and, you know, doesn't care about the consequences. And so when he comes out and says that, we've talked about this. I think Russ is the wrong scapegoat. I don't think he played well to start the season. I think he's been fine enough. Like, I think their issues run way deeper than Russ or certainly Frank Vogel with how that's going this season. But at the same time, like he's been really bad at the end of games this year. Right. And so to bench him down the stretch of a game, it's funny that he did it and they lost anyway. That I find hilarious. Like, they got lit up by Caris LeVert and it was like, well, I don't know what we do now. Right. And so like that part is funny to me, but there's like Trey, there's some interesting discussion now from Tony Kornheiser basically saying you can't bench him in crunch time. Like what is going on with this part of the discussion?
I mean, look, yes, Russ probably was embarrassed. Yes, he's been playing bad. But at the end of the day, like, Vogel made the best decision that he felt was going to win the basketball game. Although they didn't win the basketball game, you can't say that you're not allowed to bench a player. Like, Pop would bench guys all the time, you know what I mean? And guys should be able to be being able to be coached. You know, in this particular situation, I don't think no matter what the year of experience is and how they should react. Obviously, you know, certain players start because the coaching staff only has a certain amount of say-so in that because that's the owner's call, especially if they're making a certain amount of money. And you have to really make a true, basically, stance on why you're benching that player. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just be like, all right, I'm going to bench him or take him out the lineup when they're paying him like $40 a year. You know what I mean? So in that situation, Russ is, he hasn't been shooting well. I won't be kicking him while he's down, but just overall, like, Vogel should be able to put the best guys available to win that ball game at the particular time versus instead of, you know, Tony mentioning that Vogel should be fired or at least the respect of Russell Westbrook, if they're going to continue to bench him, they need to buy him out. Like, that's not how this works.
You can coach him. Like, what? That's ridiculous.
I mean, apparently not, though, because that's the thing. After that game, he was benched. He stormed out, didn't see media, didn't anything. There was zero accountability, but he's been able to get away with this all his entire career. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. So, like, now a coach is finally holding him accountable. A coach is actually, you know, the media is on him a little bit harder because he's in a bigger market. And it's starting to set in. And he's just kind of, like, trying to pull off what he was trying to do in Oklahoma City because they, you know, that was all they had at that particular time. And although he gave his all, he was just as good as he was bad. You know what I mean? Like, that's why the live by Russ, die by Russ is such a thing. But in L.A., nobody cares about triple-doubles. Nobody cares about, you know, individual accolades. The same thing with LeBron getting 10,000 rebounds. If y'all losing, the Laker fans are starting to grow tired of that. They want to win. And, Mo, you can kind of chime in on this to support this argument, but Russ has always been individual. LeBron has been individual. Despite him playing as a team, like, he likes to pass, but it's still individually driven.
Oh, I mean, Trey's right on. I mean, just even the assists are almost selfish assists, right? Like, you get me the assist. You know, shoot that shot because I need the assist and all of those things. It's everything Trey said is right on, but I don't know how you're going to be able to coach if it's, you got to look to the front office going, can I bench this guy? Right? Like, in the heat of the moment, you got to do those things. And, you know, Tony Kornheiser, you know, talking about Russ and this is disrespectful and things like that. It comes down to winning. And let's just be honest, Russ hasn't impacted winning in a long time. And that's the problem. And he's not I'm with you, Zach. He's not all the Lakers' problems. It's a culminations of things. It really starts with the front office guys, with Pelinka and Rambis really making poor decisions last offseason. And, you know, now everybody's kind of paying for it and they're looking for any way out. And there just isn't one. And they're screwed. And with everything that's going on, like, they just need to go play. And whatever five guys are going to get you the wins are the ones Vogel has to play. And, you know, it'll be really interesting if there's a game where he won't have the guts for it. I don't think there's any coach that would bench LeBron. But you kind of have to, at some point, start looking at your five. Who's going to be our five guys playing in crunch time? I don't know if Russ could be that guy.
I think
the Lakers have made such a mess of this, too.
Yes.
By making it as public as they have, that not only is Vogel fighting for his job, but that it could be on a game-to-game basis. Like, what kind of crap is that?
Well,
honestly, like, that is the single worst way to evaluate a coach. That is the worst way to try to get a team to perform. Like, putting that out there, leaking it, I read that in like three or four different publications. So they were telling everybody about this, that Vogel was coaching for a job every single night. It's like, what do you expect to come from that? That is a good outcome. Maybe benching Russ. I don't know. I don't know. And I disagree a little bit that Russ isn't the problem. And I guess it's just semantics the way I see it. The bigger problem is that they bet on Russ and bet as heavily as they did on Russ and gave up members of the supporting cast for Russ and decided not to bring back Alex Caruso because they were going to pay Russ so much. But if Russ was a different player, if Russ could shoot a little better, if Russ was an easier fit next to LeBron, if like it would look a lot different. But he's not, and he hasn't changed. And expecting Russ to want to change or hoping that Russ would change is the biggest problem here. But Russ won't change. And he's at the point of his career. It's almost like Allen Iverson at the end of his career. It was like the guy was incredible, absolutely special. He could carry teams and do it in a way that nobody else could. And Russ was like that. But now he's in the twilight of his career. He's lost a little bit. And he's still trying to do the same things. He still has the same mentality. He hasn't been able to fit into a team concept. And that's where it is on Russ to me.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Yeah, I mean, like they're... And I don't know. Some of this will be fixed when Anthony Davis is back and healthy, and so it won't look as bad. But it's the same thing as last year in the sense that these games matter, right? Like you're pretty close to the play-in tournament again, and you're pretty close to ending up with a bad first round matchup. And then if anything goes wrong there, you have no shot. If those three are healthy and they're relatively clicking, like yeah, okay, I could see an upset happening. I don't think they're as good as the Warriors. I don't think they're as good as the Suns. But I could, you know, the Jazz is a weird thing. I still don't believe in the Jazz, but that's more just like they got a show in the playoffs kind of thing.
Could they beat Memphis?
What?
Could they beat Memphis?
Maybe because of experience. Maybe. I think, I mean, I'd still pick the Grizzlies in that series because they have an identity.
Right.
But yeah, like that lack of experience definitely could hurt them. And I wouldn't be shocked by the Lakers winning that series, but you're now in a situation where, man, this is becoming a pattern, right? This is becoming a pattern. So whether it's the idea of they're not playing defense or this guy's out or Russ isn't good at the end of games or whatever, like they just have this like long CVS receipt list of problems that they need to fix. And none of that's going to happen through a move. None of that's going to, like, some of it gets fixed when AD's back, but that we still had plenty of questions about them when he was, you know, when he was healthy this year, when the three of them were on the court together. Like, there's still issues of when LeBron's not in the game, that offense sucks. It just flat out sucks. And Russ should be the one to, you know, to mitigate that, to solve that enough. Like, he doesn't have to have it as good as LeBron, but he's got to make better decisions. LeBron's got to make better decisions. AD's going to have to make tougher and better decisions. Like, the veteran role players are going to have to, like, they all know what they're supposed to do. They're playing dumb basketball. It's not a group of dumb basketball players. And so, like, all right, let's say they stop benching Russ and he's okay at the end of games and stuff. Great. What about the other shit? Like, there's going to be some point where they have to just look themselves in the mirror and stop making excuses. LeBron's saying, well, you know, we had injuries and health and safety protocols has really hurt us. So that's why we are where we are. Everyone else has this. Everyone else is dealing with this in the NBA. Not everyone's struggling.
The dumbest thing was we can't evaluate our roster because we don't have Trevor Ariza and Kendrick Nunn. If they're the linchpin for your success,
right,
then I can evaluate your roster. You're in trouble.
Look, I had high hopes for them this season. I still think they could be contenders at their best. I just don't know if they know how to get to their best.
And so much of this hinges on AD, too.
Yeah,
obviously, for sure. He's been out for a while. Even before that, he wasn't playing at the level he did two
right.
seasons
He's not
ago.
Playing like a top five, top 10 dude anymore.
And if he gets back to that, then all the other stuff doesn't matter as much. It just won't matter.
It
as
does
much.
Fix a lot. Yeah. It does fix a lot if he gets back
he
to
He can
that.
Hide those flaws that have been so glaring.
But Jay, you know, this is the wild thing. Do you expect him to get back to that?
And here's the other thing about that run they made a couple years ago. LeBron and AD were playing at otherworldly levels.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had Caruso, who was great night to night. They had KCP.
Yeah, KCP was good.
Who stepped up in a huge way.
Kuzma found his role, right? They wasn't the one he wanted, but he accepted it.
Exactly. They had Rondo, who was giving them good minutes consistently. Where are those four guys this year? You know, like, where are the other guys on this team that aren't just going to make buckets because Malik Monk will get buckets. Carmelo Anthony will get buckets. Like, those guys, they'll be able to score fine. But who makes the really important plays on the other side of the court? Who digs in and gets a stop? Who sees that Anthony Davis has a mismatch down low and says, like Rondo used to all the time, and just was adamant about getting him the ball in that situation? Like, I just don't see it with this team. And Anthony Davis will change a lot for them, especially if he gets back to where he was 2 years ago. But the rest of the supporting cast just isn't there. And there's not much time to get it there. And there aren't many guys who could possibly get it there, honestly.
That's the thing, though. Like, they have all these dudes to get buckets. Their offense sucks. They're 24th in the league. They suck.
It's
like,
terrible.
This is not good.
They traded their defensive players to get better offensively, and it backfired.
Sucks. And it should, like, I'm at a point where, like, I don't know who you could bring in to have the offense not fall off a cliff when LeBron's out of the game. This is another year of that happening. Like, in the championship year, it happened, and they won the championship anyway, right? And then they wanted to, like, fix that last year, so they go and get Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell. One and two in bench scoring the previous season, one and three, I think, in sixth man of the year voting, and it still happened. And then they go and get, Russ this year, and it still happens. Like, Trey, like, this might just be like when you have a team centered around LeBron James, there is no player you can bring in to have it run smoothly. Like, because I don't, like, you change the offense? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, when you really look at it, this guy needs to be ball dominant and, like, respectfully, cool. But again, if you look at the track record of certain players, right, the selling point of it, normally when guys would say, all right, cool, I'll go play for the Cavs, or I'll go play for the Heat, or I'll go play for the Lakers, whatever franchise LeBron's been involved, you have to sacrifice majority of what you was able to do great in the other systems. Now, if you're not a strong driver, or if you're not a catch and shoot guy, your game is hurt. You look at guys like Isaiah Thomas. You look at guys like, you know, Kevin Love. Sometimes he became a spot up shooter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just certain things where guys just weren't using their things and, like, basically using their strengths anymore. And, you know, in this Lakers case, I mean, you know, they would have thrived off getting to Fred VanVleet or someone like that caliber. You know what I mean? I always was still pushing for Gary Trent Jr. But, like, I'm seeing trade rumors of guys like, you know, Siakam. I'm seeing guys like Jeremy Grant, John Wall. Like, that doesn't make the Lakers over the top if they go make this move. You know what I mean? Because those players aren't going to fully support LeBron in this situation. Even Laker fans have howled about, oh, if we get THT, if we get Trevor Ariza back, you know, when we get AD back, like, nothing's really going to change. And I think that they kind of bit off more than they can chew in this situation. And it's just going to have to deal with it. Even if they fire Vogel and, you know, they don't make Fizz the guy and they you know, who they're going to put in, Handy or Kurt Rambis again? I don't
Palinka
know.
Palinka should coach this team.
The Lakers
put
are in
this shit roster together. Palinka should coach it. You're the one that's saying.
When does that ever work out? Are we trying to fix this? Are we trying to fix this or punish Rob Palinka? Like,
yes, we're
I
punishing
need to see
him.
Rob Palinka.
No, fix the damn problem. Play better.
How
Stop
many games do you think it would take
basketball.
Him to bench Russ?
Stop playing stupid basketball, man. That's the that fixes the problem. Quit being dumb out there. You got if it was a bunch of dumb players, I'd be like, all right, there's nothing they can do. These are all smart basketball people. Go play smart basketball. It shouldn't be that hard.
If it were that easy, Zach.
It is that easy. They're all veterans. They all know what to do. Most of them have had success. You know what the fuck to do. Like, go do it.
I disagree that they're like this smart basketball team. Dude, outside of LeBron.
No, those are all veteran dudes who know how to win. Like, whether they've won championships or not, doesn't, like, we get too caught up in that culture. Like, they have led teams to victories time and time again. They led teams into the playoffs. They've led teams, you know, past the first round, into the second, into whatever. Like, you know how to win, man.
I mean, you could say that about, like, just a couple of players on their team, honestly. Like Russ. Russ, his teams weren't winning because he was smart. If anything, like, his lack of good decision-making down the stretch of games held his team back.
I don't think, no, I think there's a difference with that, though. One, he's not the guy anymore. So he can adjust, like he doesn't get to have that
thing.
Mentality.
He doesn't adjust. Hasn't adjusted.
So adjust. He's not an idiot. He knows how to play good basketball. He's done it before. He's done it a lot. Whether you like the style of player or not, like, he's played good basketball that helps his team win. Maybe not win a championship, but win. Like, we're talking about regular season games. We're talking about not wondering, can you beat Caris LeVert at home?
I mean,
like
Caris
that,
LeVert and
I mean,
Kiefer
he was
Sykes
hot. He was hot, to be fair. He was hot. He had 22 in the four, like, he was hot. All right, let's get off this. Joel Embiid gaining a lot of MVP chatter right now. And so, Trey, is it enough to take down other people in this mix? Because I'm just like, you know, we talked about it last week. What Jokic is doing with that just band-aid duct tape together roster at the moment. We had this question the other day on the radio. It was like, where would you like to see Paul Millsap go since he's going to leave the Nets? Right. And I'm just like, I guess Denver, just because they need bodies. Like, at this point, like, I don't even know if he would be good.
Wait, we really. We're really talking about Paul Millsap in there somewhere. He was unplayable in Brooklyn.
Sure.
I don't want to shut it down because I know a lot of teams are desperate.
Oh, he was terrible. He was terrible.
But he was terrible. He was terrible.
Nuggets supporting cast is. I'm just like, yeah, I guess put him back in Denver. That would help, maybe. Jokic needs somebody. But Joel Embiid has been on fire lately. And so maybe that's enough momentum to take down, you know, him and Giannis.
Look,
and everybody.
Joel's been hooping. He's going up. You know what I mean? Kudos to your rankings again, weekly rankings. Check it out on Athletic. But when you really think of the MVP tracker, I think Steph has continued to slip.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, like, again, that's not no diss to him. They're still the Warriors. They're still in a comfortable position. But, like, you're starting to see a little bit of how, you know, him not shooting well and Draymond not being present, it's affecting the look of how, you know, the eye test of how we're looking at him right now. And certain players, you know what I mean? Like, with KD out, he's going to miss 6 weeks. He slipped out of that. Right now, I see Giannis at one. I see Jokic at two. And I got Embiid at three.
Yeah, I mean, Embiid over his last...
And Ja.
Yeah, Ja's got to be up there, man. Ja's balling, too.
I get Ja in the mix, and Ja might be third, honestly, just because he's been a little bit more consistently, and his team is winning.
I think by the end of the season, it won't be as big of a hole for him. But, like, the fact that he missed, what, like 12 games? You know, so we're talking 12 games in the first half of the season. What if we get that extended, it's only 12 games by the end of the year, it's not such a knock against him. But at least for, like, this point in the season conversation, like, I do use that against Ja just to knock him down a little bit, because it's such a crowded field. There's so much nitpicking that has to happen in order to find, like, whoever your leader is going to be. But, yeah, like, Ja deserves to be up there as well. Over the last 16 games, Joel Embiid, 33.5 points per game, 10.3 rebounds, 4.2 assists, shooting 55% from the field, 41% from three, 83% from the free throw line. And they've lost five of those games. They're 11-5. Like, he's killing. He's absolutely killing. He had 50 in 27 minutes against the Magic. Some Kobe shit,
he had,
man.
Like, he had 20 points. Yeah. He had 20 points in the first quarter.
Yeah. Like, he was just murdering. He played 27 minutes and had 50 points.
It's just like, okay.
Like, you don't see big men do that, right? Guard, sure. Like, Clay's done it. Kobe's done it. All of them have done it. But, like, big men don't usually get the, like, you got to be really efficient in that game to get to 50 that quickly. That's crazy.
That's why it would be a shame if they can't find a Ben Simmons trade by the deadline.
Yeah.
Like, this is an all-time season Joel Embiid is putting together. He has been so special. He's been much better at dealing with double teams.
Mm-hmm.
He's added, like, guard dribble moves that are just stupid. Like, his face-up game is like a wings, except he's 7 foot 280 or whatever he is. And he's defending on top of all of that. If they cannot get anybody for Ben Simmons and they leave an all-star type talent sitting at home while Joel Embiid is doing all of this, it would be a shame. And I know Daryl Morey's come out and said, that's why we need to get this trade right, because Joel Embiid is that good, and that's why we need to take our time and get it right. But, like, Joel Embiid has an injury history.
Yeah,
he's already promised.
We talked about Josh missed games.
He's level for much longer.
Yeah, he's already missed 11 games this year, right? Like, some of that's health and safety protocol, but whatever. Like, he's missed 11. Like, he misses time.
And I just think there needs to be an enormous sense of urgency to get that Ben Simmons deal right, and give Embiid the help he needs to really, really contend, because that dude is on another level this year, even from when he was last year when he was second in MVP voting.
So, Jay, you're not wrong, but you're also a little bit wrong in the sense of they can't take confusing. A bad trade, right?
They can't take a bad trade.
That's the thing. So if it just doesn't materialize, you can't just go, okay, well, we'll just get any help we can
Embiid. But what's a bad trade in this scenario, right?
Well, I mean, I don't think they'll get the 25 or the 30 names that Morey has on his list, right? Like, I don't think that's realistic. Like, we can be clear about that one. But, you know, like, early in the season when it was like Buddy Hield and Marvin Bagley, I'm like, that's not enough. That's not going to get you into the finals. Even with Embiid playing as well as he is, that wouldn't have been enough in my opinion. I still don't think that would be enough.
Bagley's not going to contribute now. Yeah, you're right.
Right, in all of these things. Like, people coming out there saying, oh, they should trade for Sabonis. It's like, no, Sabonis won't help. Like, it's not a...
No, Sabonis and Embiid together would be terrible.
Terrible. And Embiid would would probably raise his hand going like, yeah, okay, so now I need to be traded.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that would be the situation. So, like, I'm with you. They need to make the trade. Only if the right one presents itself. I don't know if it's going to. So I know everybody's going like, you're wasting Embiid's season and, you know, he's a ticking time bomb. All these dudes are relatively ticking time bombs. Klay Thompson rarely missed a game and then missed 2 years of basketball, right? Like, it doesn't take much for these guys to really kind of develop some sort of injury history. So I know the history with Embiid and everything that goes with it, but I just don't think it's worth it for them to just, hey, whatever we can get on February 10th.
I agree with that. Like, it's not just a trade him for whatever you can get. But there's also enormous pressure to get a trade done and get it done as quickly as possible.
That's
my bigger point. And it's funny because what they need most is probably like a long athletic dude who can defend and rebound and like do all that stuff. Like, a lot of the stuff that Simmons provided for them. You look at their rebounding, they're, I think, 28th in rebounding percentage. Mm-hmm. They've been a horrible rebounding team, even with Embiid.
Yeah, that's hard
tough.
To do.
And they're like, they're extremely small in the backcourt. They're not the most athletic team. Like, Simmons provided them as much as he took off the table at times. He gave them so much, and they still haven't filled that So I think they need a long dude. They need a dude who can defend, who can rebound. And that's the type of guy they should be looking for. I've changed my mind on that because I used to think they needed more shot making, more creation.
No, they got like Maxey's good, man. Maxey's good. No, but they got Seth
Maxey's
Curry.
Pretty good. Seth Curry has developed so much that he gives you that. And Embiid has such gravity, it just makes it easier on those guys.
Shake off the bench is good.
I think it's more like athleticism, length, defense that they really need to target.
I think I actually disagree. I'm still on. They need a guy that they can put the ball in his hands at the end of games on the perimeter. And I don't think they have that. As good as Maxey is and as good as Embiid is on the perimeter, it's still tough to get it to him. You know, you saw it in the in their loss to the Clippers. They need that guard out there on the perimeter that can just make it happen in the last 2 or 3 minutes. Or maybe it is a long, lanky wing, kind of similar to what Chris Middleton was for the Bucks. You know, it was Giannis 45 minutes through the game, but in closing time, the ball was in Middleton's hands. And I think maybe that's something that they need to look for, whether it's a guard or maybe it's a wing, but that's the role they need to fill in this trade to me.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, let's go now to All-Star Starter Talk. I voted. I was a media member who
they
got to
vote. They gave you a vote?
Yeah, man.
Somebody get Adam on the phone, man. That's questionable decision making.
Hey, man.
That's questionable decision making.
You know what the crazy thing is? This is my third year voting.
Yo, they've been drunk for 3 years.
I was going to say you've been voting.
This is going to be the fourth time I voted for MVP, but I don't know that I'm on the ballot. I don't know that I can get in the ballot this year. I think I might. I think this is a good sign, but I don't know. That's why those award rankings come out, man. Make sure that they know I'm taking this shit seriously. Give the kid a vote, Jesus. but I voted. And I feel like it's relatively straightforward. The only thing, well, actually, maybe not. Like the front court in the West was, like, I gave that third spot. I voted for Rudy Gobert, so I did Jokic, LeBron, and Rudy Gobert. I thought about Draymond. I thought about Wiggins. I thought about Paul George, but everyone's kind of missed so much time. I didn't think Wiggins was quite good enough, and Gobert's impact was shown when he missed for four games, and they looked like the Magic out there, right? Where I was just like, okay, like I think that's right. But I think I did Gobert, Jokic, LeBron for the front court. I did Ja and Steph for the back court, and then the East front court was super easy. It was Embiid, it was Giannis, it was KD, and then for the back court, I did DeRozan, and I gave a vote to Fred VanVleet. So those were my starters, and I don't think Fred's going to get it, but. But I thought he was deserving. Yeah, I thought he was deserving. Yeah.
I actually surprisingly don't have a problem with your list, Zach.
The tough one was trying to decide, you know, because I do think Harden's deserving. I think Trae Young's deserving. But I think, you know, and maybe not for a starter, but Darius Garland should be an All-Star this year. But I was like, man, Fred's been so good. He's been carrying that team. Like he's the reason that they're above 500 and in the mix, you know, to make the playoffs in the East. Like, I just think he's been so good that he should be rewarded with that.
The thing to me that stands out is, one, the front court in the West just isn't very deep. And it's because mostly injuries.
Yeah. Because like AD should be in the mix, right? Like that, right. That should have been an easy one, but he's been hurt and he wasn't good by his standards.
Yeah, and because of how much fan vote is weighted, we honestly might see Andrew Wiggins as an all-star starter.
Yeah, I mean, there, I don't know how other media members are voting. I haven't checked, but like, yeah, he might get enough votes there.
Because I don't know if the players should be LeBron, Jokic, and Gobert. Like, they've been the three best players.
Let me throw a name in there. Where are you guys on Cat? Because he's been pretty damn good.
He's been good. Yeah, he's been good. Honestly,
I'd rather put him in the front court as a starter than Wiggins.
Yeah, but would you rather put him over Gobert? Like, I don't think he's been better than Gobert. Nah. You know?
I'm not doing all that. I want Andrew Wiggins to start just off of the troll of Zaza Pachulia.
Shit, you know what? Let me talk to the league. I got to change my vote. Got to get Wiggins my vote now.
Be careful, Zach. Don't lose your vote.
You make a great point.
The other one that stands out is the East front court, because Kevin Durant's going to be injured for the All-Star game, I assume. And if he's out,
yeah, he should not play.
It's Giannis, it's Embiid. Those are automatic. But who's the third guy?
That's a good question.
Like, is Tatum almost by default that guy? Jimmy Butler's missed a ton of the season.
So badly.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler's, Jared Allen?
Do you throw Jared Allen in there?
Miles Bridges? Miles Bridges has been great.
I want Allen in there just because now I just want three massive 7-footers.
Oh God, that'd be great. Yeah. I think Jimmy's been good enough, but he missed a bunch of time.
Is DeRozan a guard or forward?
He's counted as
a guard.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
If he were a forward, it would have been super hard.
Yeah, I honestly probably would not have voted for KD just because he's hurt, which still was not a smart idea. Like, KD's been amazing, but like, I was just like, yeah, that's my justification. I got to get DeMar a vote. Like,
yeah.
Or maybe I would have voted him over Embiid. I don't know.
That's man.
I think you would have to go with Jared Allen. I think he's been the most consistent, and he hasn't really missed time, right? To get moved in.
Where are you at on Zach LaVine? Or is he considered? He's not considered.
He's a guard too.
He's a guard. Yeah.
Jesus, what's going on this list?
I mean, Zach's definitely a guard. DeRozan's been playing four all season, so he should be a front court player, but Zach's definitely a guard.
Can we get rid of the distinction anyways? Because they're all just kind of different players. LeBron's a point guard on the team, on the Lakers. Yeah. I mean, like, can we get rid of that?
Yeah, they should have Russ as a front court player.
Oh, I'd love to see him get benched during the All-Star.
Oh, God. I guess that all that will be determined on who the reserves are. Maybe we shouldn't even get into that yet until we find out like who the reserves are and then who that replacement's going to be. But that's going to be, that's going to be a tough decision. We should talk about that maybe next week or the week after. When does this stuff get announced? Does this stuff get announced Thursday?
Yes, this week.
That's when the starters get announced.
We'll find out who gets those final spots in the West and in the East.
Did you do your list after the Niners game?
No. I made sure nothing pressing was happening after that game. I cleared the runway there, man.
God, I woke up so disoriented at 5 a.m. I had no idea where I was. God, I...
Okay, what do you want?
To us who don't really know the game, how do you explain that?
You're serious? You really think I can explain that?
I burned that.
In simplest terms. The question is, will you?
I don't know. Did you ask Pop that question?
What went wrong for you guys tonight, Tim?
What went wrong for?
Don't ask me that question.
Yeah, this afternoon. Sorry, I lost my...
They played better than we did.
And was the tone of this game, was it set from the beginning?
I don't know. Did you ask Pop that question?
tell them to jump higher and move quicker. Physically and mentally, but I was mistaken. But that's a different deal. You know?
I don't know.
They played better than we did. Deer in the headlights, very disappointing. I thought we were very prepared.
I've earned that.
Physically and mentally, but I was mistaken. That's it? Okay. Have a good night.
All right, before we get out of here and keep talking about my drunkenness, this Doc Rivers thing is interesting, right? So he apparently got asked how much of a 24-point blown lead was on the coaching. And his response was, would you ask Pop that question? No, you wouldn't. So don't ask me that question. I've earned that.
What part of this loss would you attribute to coaching?
I don't know. Would you ask Pop that question? No, you wouldn't. So don't ask me that question. I've earned that.
I think it's a weird question. Like, to be fair to Doc, like, I do think that's a weird question. I think there's a different way of framing that, of like, is there stuff you would have tried differently? Is there a strategy you think you should have employed instead? Like, I think that's a fair question. But to ask how much of a blown lead is on coaching, that is a super weird question.
That is a weird one.
It was poorly phrased. Yeah. Everything about it was weird. But, you know, this isn't like Doc also won at Keith Pompey a few weeks ago when he asked him about when the team was struggling, when they were relatively healthy and struggling against teams that had a bunch of guys out with COVID protocols. And he went at him again. This is the second time Doc's gone off on somebody at a press conference.
Jay, play the tape.
You're not concerned at all at having these close games against these undermanned teams.
No. You know, I think, like, it's funny. When we were undermanned and we won a couple games and we had close games that we lost, I didn't hear that in reverse. This is the NBA, Keith. Think about that stretch when we had all those guys out and we lost 4 and 5 games by 1 point, 3 points. Do you think their coach was worried that they won by 1 or 3 points? These guys play hard, man. This is the NBA. Every single guy in this league can play. So I don't, like, sit back and judge, like, well, we didn't win by 10 tonight or 12 tonight. We won the game. And that locker room in there, they're happy. They're not sitting back thinking, man, we should have won by 20. No, you shouldn't. You should have won by exactly what you want.
It seems like you're getting kind of, like, emotional.
No, not at all. I'm just miffed by the question. Like, that's a question that's always, like, it tells me, like, clearly you didn't play enough. You got to understand that. Like, if you win a game, Keith, you're happy. Like, because my point is, I didn't hear you asking about when we were losing those close games. What do you think about? Are you happy about the loss because you were close with an undermanned team? No, it's not the same thing. My point is, Keith, it's a dumbass question to me. We didn't win the game. Exactly. And so what I'm saying now is, I don't care. We won the game. I just think it's a like a silly question. I really do. Like, we won a game and you're trying to take steam away from it? I think that's silly. I do. I'm just giving you my opinion. I think that's a silly question.
Like, I agree the question could have been framed differently. But also, like, it really wasn't out of the question.
To ask a guy, like, it should have been
what was that?
No, man, he did, the fact that
what he could have done differently.
He thought he did some wordplay with question there. I don't know what that was. Lead.
When you blow a 24-point lead, like, you should be up there willing to answer tough questions after that. And then to compare yourself to Popovich, you ain't Popovich, Doc.
Yo, no, you're
don't
not.
You don't deserve the respect. You haven't earned the respect that Greg Popovich
I don't
does,
know.
First
Look,
of all.
I know he's only won one title, right? He's only won one title, whatever. Like, that dude's been coaching for 22 years. He's got a bunch of wins. He's a good coach. Like, yeah, he's got some blind spots when it comes to coaching, but, like, he's a good coach, man.
Absolutely. But to compare yourself to Popovich, it'd be like after a game, if I was like, would you say the same thing to Bob Ryan? Would you right. say the same thing to Bob Ryan? Like,
Like, motherfucker, no. Like, you're not Bob Ryan, Jay.
So, hey, man. Hey, Jay, check the standings. Is Doc Rivers 11 games under 500? No.
If the reporter should have worded his question differently, Doc should have worded his you know, disappointment with the question differently, because you just sound like a jackass comparing yourself to Greg Popovich.
I don't agree, man. I'm with Doc on this. I do agree. He's been very sensitive this year. He was very sensitive about the whole like Ben Simmons stuff. Very sensitive, like it behind the scenes too. Like it's been weird with certain things. But so maybe he's just on it. Maybe he's feeling heat, like to win with this team. I don't know. Maybe he's stressed in that way.
Well, I'm with Jay though on the. Would you ask Pop that question? First off, people have questioned Pop's coaching in games. Like I've seen it in press conferences. Nobody asked a question as poorly as that to Pop, but this is part of the job as a coach, right? Like you're going to get second guessed with the decisions you make and things like that. When you blow a 24 point lead, which by the way, Doc Rivers tends to do a lot, you know, his teams tend to blow 24 point.
Yeah. Well,
big leads. It happens more often that with him, I feel like, than others. And that's just kind of a more like eye test stuff. So I don't have actual numbers, but like for him to kind of just go
mainstream
in there.
Mainstream media again.
Yeah. You know me.
Making stuff up.
Shit like this actually goes to your fucking brain.
Yeah. If you don't want to listen to your partner, then listen to Lester. He has all the wisdom you need, boy.
Every chance I get. But to go like, would you ask Pop that question, like comparing yourself on the level of Pop? There are very few coaches in the NBA that can compare themselves on the level of Pop to have had the continued success for over 20 years that he had with the Spurs. And granted, a lot of that had to do with Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. Pop will be the first one to tell you that. But having that continued success for as long as he has, It's hard to put yourself on that platform. And if Doc sees himself on the level of Pop, then Doc needs to kind of reassess himself.
Doc's got 1,000 wins. What are you guys talking about? Like, Doc gets to play that card.
Pop is pretty close to being by himself.
Pop's like, what, 20-something games away from the all-time wins record?
He's been coaching longer.
It's not Doc Rivers. Like, it's not a knock on him that he's not Pop. It's just nobody's Pop.
Yeah.
Nobody has that track record. Nobody's been doing it for as long as he has. Nobody's got the championships, everything. Like, Pop deserves more respect. And the funny part about all this is it would have been so easy to deflect. Like, man, all he had to say was, man, we lost a 24-point lead. Like, there's a lot I could have done differently. Like, you know, and, like, just laugh it off. But instead, he chose violence. And I like moments like that.
I think
when guys get a little testy, it gives us something to talk about.
I think you guys are doing the Twitter thing of taking the comparison language too seriously. I don't think he's saying I'm Pop. I think he's saying like, yo, I've been doing this long enough. I've had enough wins. Like, don't do this shit.
If he said like, would you ask that to Stan Van Gundy? I would have been like, you know what?
No, he's saying
he's got a point.
Quit playing with me. That's what he's saying. Quit playing with his career, his groundwork. He should be respected just how, because I've been in certain, I mean, I'm sure we all have covered Greg Popovich. And when you really think about when you have to cover him, no stupid questions are asked because he makes you feel very small if you really say something dumb. You know what I mean? Because it changes to, oh, shit got real quick when you ask Pop a stupid question or that a question that he don't want to ask. And I think that Doc's like, you know what I mean? I'm a 1,000-win coach. Like, why? I don't possess that type of respect in this space. You know what I mean? You're going to ask me that ridiculous-ass question versus, you know, you wouldn't do that with Pop. So he's just basically saying I deserve the same damn respect.
I've been in the locker rooms of both guys. I've been able to see them both up close. He ain't Pop.
but he's. I honestly think you guys are twittering this conversation to death. It's not the name. Like he's saying, don't do that shit to me. Like, so if he'd said like, would you ask that question to Don Nelson? You guys would be like, all right, cool. Like he got it right. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like you shouldn't ask him that question regardless.
I mean, the question we've established, the question was a poorly asked question.
Then why do you care what coach he picked?
Pop
why do you care?
Also gets it, but also
you guys
Pop
are treating him like
questions.
He's the Mario Chalmers of coaching. Like he's
Pop gets those questions too, though. Zach, I've seen it. I've seen them. I've seen the questions. Pop gets those questions too. People second guess his rotations.
Dude,
people ask him questions.
No, not like that.
This was a terribly phrased question.
Trey's right though. You wouldn't ask that terribly phrased question to Pop because of the reputation. Now Doc is way more friendly. You know, tries to play the good guy role.
Pop would have done the same thing to that reporter.
I mean, Pop would have answered it. Pop would have just like left, right? let's reverse the roles, and Pop's like, would you ask that question to Doc Rivers? Why are you asking it to me? Would you guys be going, oh Pop, you need to think higher of yourself, get the hell out of here, man? Like, that's like the comparison's fine, the dissatisfaction with the question's fine. I'm team Doc on this one, and I'd love to roast Doc Rivers and the fake laugh that media always gives him and these horrible corny jokes that aren't funny.
Okay, if you cater constantly to the media the way Doc does, right, with those jokes to get those laughs and, oh, let's go Bears and oh, he's a Chicago guy and all that stuff, you can't be mad when they ask you a dumb question.
Sure you can.
You create the dumb environment.
No. A joking environment and a dumb environment are not the same thing.
Here's my thing. As bad as the reporter framed the question, it wasn't a personal attack. It wasn't discussing anything more than the 124-point collapse. It was how much did coaching impact that one comeback from the other team. That's it. You know, it wasn't a personal thing at all, and that's where I think Doc overreacted. And I get it. Like, how awful must it be after your worst day of work?
Oh, it's the worst.
When people are asking you, well, what did you fuck up most today?
Okay, I'm gonna throw names out there, and you guys tell me where the good comparison would have been.
That's why my story sucked today. But I think Doc wanted to tell him, like, just zoom out. We're 26-19. We didn't have Joel Embiid for 11 games. We've got an all-star sitting at home twiddling his thumbs. We've got...
You can't say that, though, because part of that's his fault.
We've got a lack of... We've got a lack of top-notch playmaking in our backcourt. We've got a lack of size in our backcourt. We can't rebound for shit. And we're 26-19. Like, how about ask me about that, guys?
All right, hold on, guys. All right. If he had said, would you have asked that question to Rick Carlisle? You guys cool?
Yeah, I'm actually probably fine with that.
Okay, he's got 150 more wins than Rick Carlisle.
I would have been cool with that.
Dick Motta. It would have just been funny to hear him say Dick Motta in that moment.
you just wanted to say it.
Rick Adelman.
Ooh, Rick Adelman. Yeah,
I think he's above that actually.
Larry Brown.
Ooh, that's a good one, Zach. That's a good one.
Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson would have been similar. Yeah,
George Karl.
George Karl.
No, he's similar tier. He's probably a little higher in the tier too,
because he's got a championship.
You know,
so Pat Riley's a no-go.
Yeah, no. You've gone too far.
Yeah, he never got gifted Magic Johnson, so that's fair. Jerry Sloan,
that's a good one. Couple trips to the finals, Bulls kind of ran him out. Yeah.
I love how we have a actual disrespect.
I know. This is how ridiculous their reaction to this is, Trey.
Like, you know what? We could disrespect Doc, but we have to put it
in the right name historically.
It's a level. Exactly. You got to be, that's kind of the deal.
Like, out of your mind. I'm into this podcast. Thank you for listening to the Athletic Nation podcast.
I wish we had people asking us questions.
Would you ask the same thing of Chris Kirshner? Thanks to Trey, thanks to Mo, thanks to Jared Weiss's running mate here, Jay King. I don't know. I was trying to make
trying to find a name and you couldn't.
I'm just like Celtic. Ah, shit.
He tried to compare himself to Bob Ryan on this podcast.
He did. Yeah, exactly. Get out of here, Jay King. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you listen to No Dunks. Make sure you listen to What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle. Make sure you listen to all the team specific shows. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic, the best coverage of sports on the internet. For Mo, for Jay, for Trey, I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.